The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app. Google Podcasts is gone. So if you're an Android person, switch to Spotify or the Five Reasons YouTube channel. You can catch us, of course, if your iPhone on Apple Podcasts. Also, catch up with Off the Floor. That is our Discord channel. See plenty of people signing up, but you actually got to pay the $2.99 a month. It is worth it. Trust us. 10 channels. Direct host updates before we put anything on Twitter, X, or anywhere else. Also, you can go through all the other NBA games with us. There's a main thing chat where you can go on with other Heat fans all day long, esports, music culture, and more. So check it out. It's the new Off the Floor, our new Discord. The link is right here in the podcast description or pinned to the top of the Five Reasons Twitter page. Also, check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network, our friend Nelson over at Mobile C-Arm and Staffing. Check him out at c-armandstaffing.com. We always say, if you work in a medical office, whether you run the medical office or you just want to do the right thing by your boss, reach out to Nelson because they can take care of everything for you. They do the short and long-term C-Arm rentals to hospitals, surgery centers, and any medical facility. So also, if you're a chiropractor, you can call MCSS. And they can set up for pain management procedures right there in your office. They bring everything there. So check them out at c-armandstaffing.com. That's the letter c-armandstaffing.com. And now, today's episode.
Down to Biscayne. Yikes.
Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Butler said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got it all banned. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick and Five Reasons Sports. We've got Greg Sylvander. You can follow him at Greg Sylvander. And here we are, five games left in the regular season. It's been a bit of a slog to get through, and yet the Miami Heat do still control their destiny for something significant. With five games left and now at 43 wins, they are going to be in Indiana on Sunday, a 5 o'clock start in Indianapolis. I hear a lot of people are gathering in Indy because it's one of the sites of the eclipse on Monday. So we'll see if eclipse the Heat's playoff chances. Of course, the Heat are going to be in the play-in, worst case. Worst case is they'll be the 8 seed. That means that worst case, they will play a road play-in game and at least get two chances to stay in and play a playoff series. But nobody wants them to be there. Not if you're rooting for the Heat, because it means that the likelihood, if you're the 8th spot, if you make the playoffs at all, is that you'll get the Celtics in the first round. And why play the Celtics in the first round if you don't have to? Why not warm up against one of these other teams? Because, to be quite honest, Greg, and I'm curious for your thoughts on this before we get into the Indiana game and then also into Tyler Hero's performance and how that fits into all this and the Heat being healthy. The best team in the Eastern Conference right now, other than Boston, in my opinion, is Philly. Like, if you take the Heat out of the equation, I mean, let's look at where teams are right now, okay? All right, the Knicks don't have Randall, right? They get Ananobi back, but now they have to adjust permanently to not having Randall. They haven't had him for a good portion of the season, okay? Tibbs is wearing his starters down, playing them all those minutes. Don't scare me. Cleveland, Donovan Mitchell is a shell of himself right now. And actually, as we speak, they're losing to the Lakers. And the Cavs, like, if there's more time, Miami could actually catch them. Because they've been in free fall of late. The Orlando Magic have been a great story this season. I give them tremendous credit. Mosley's done a terrific job. Their young players have. It's a very young team. They don't have a lot of veterans to kind of guide them. They feel like Cleveland from last year, to be honest. And I'm not even sure they're going to position themselves seeding-wise the way they look now, because we were talking before the show, their last five games are Chicago at home, at Houston. Neither of those is a gimme. And then they have Milwaukee and Philadelphia on the road, and then Milwaukee at home. And yes, the Bucks have been awful. We'll get to them in a second. They're now 15 and 16 under Doc. But they actually need to win those games now. Like, we were wondering whether or not the Bucks would need to win at the end of the season. They do. So I would anticipate that if Giannis and Dame finally get healthy on the same night, that they will play against Orlando. And so I could easily see them dropping one of those two games. And so you look at all of those teams, and, you know, we're going to talk about Indiana here a little bit more. I mean, Philly is the one team I think you really don't want to see right now. Like, they've got
everybody
back into shape. Maxey went nuts on you. So, like, why would you put yourself in a 7-8 play-in matchup against the Sixers if you don't have to? And, again, it's possible the Sixers could get the six. And, again, they don't have any difficult games left on their schedule. But this is why I'm just saying, like, get the six at the very least. Match up with whoever comes out on the other side at the three, whether it's Bucks, Cavs, Magic, Knicks, doesn't matter. I think you're favored in all of those series, except maybe Milwaukee, right? And maybe Milwaukee. Correct. And if you're not favored against Milwaukee, it's reputation. It's not the way the two teams are playing right now. So with that being said, I'm going to set it up. If they beat the Pacers, they control their destiny for the sixth spot. They control the tiebreaker against Indiana. They would control a tiebreaker and a three-way tie with Indiana and Philadelphia. Yep. And they would continue nipping at the heels of Cleveland, Orlando, New York, any of these teams that fall, where you could end up, and I know Heat fans don't all want this, you could even end up at the five, but worst case, you would cushion at the six. Greg, it's an enormous game.
Well, I mean, anyone who would not take the four or the five is crazy. I think everybody just wants to get out of the play-in, and this game is it. You're right. All the things you mentioned, it's about controlling your own destiny at this point, and you have a chance to do that. They're in the, you know, like with this five-game stretch left, you got to take them just one at a time. And so, like, it's like you got to go 1-0 five times or 1-0 four times as the schedule trims down, and not look ahead, because it's hard. Because to all the scenarios you just mentioned, the fact that the eighth seed currently looks like the scariest team to face means that the conference is completely upside down and it's wide open, and that any of these teams could figure it out and you can make a case for them. On some level, and that's going to make for a really fun playoffs, but it makes for it's hard to predict, because to your point about Philadelphia being kind of the team that is looking right, they get their MVP back, all that kind of stuff. I think that Miami has had moments of looking right, but not enough of them for you to just slam dunk, say, okay, this is the team that would be favored. But this is where I think Miami looks around the conference, and other than Boston, says we can compete in any of these series, home court or not. It doesn't matter. But why make it harder? Why go through a one game playoff against Tyrese Maxey? Scares the crap out of me just by his speed. It could be such a blur. It's over, and then you've moved on to the next game. So to me, you got to get out of the play-in. It starts in Indiana. Tyrese Halliburton's questionable for the game. So is Jalen Smith, but I would expect both to play. But Halliburton has been, they've been watching him closely for back soreness. So that's just something to keep an eye on there. But this is it's the biggest game of the season. It's why when they lost to Philly the other night, I wasn't as I didn't get as up in arms about it, because this is the game I had circled on the calendar all along as the one where it's like going to be the measuring stick that lets us know, are we really careening toward the play-in, or are you going to be safe and maybe control your own destiny to get to six?
Well, we started talking about this game 3 weeks ago. I mean, you mentioned it, like, this is the one. I mean, you kind of figured, looking at what Indiana's schedule was, and Pacers are not the same team that the Heat played earlier this year. Mathurin, who's given them some trouble in the past, he's out for the season. Of course, Siakam is in. We know he's had some matchups against Bam. Bam has generally outplayed him over the years when he was with Toronto. There's no Buddy Hield anymore. We know that TJ McConnell gives the Heat a lot of problems. The two games that they played in the back-to-back set, I don't know if it was back-to-back, but it was two over 3 days in Miami earlier this season. If you remember, Halliburton didn't play in the second one, but TJ went nuts. But Halliburton is not playing, even without the back situation, not playing the way he did earlier this season. He's not shooting quite as much, and he's not shooting anywhere near as efficiently. So he carried this team for the first 30 to 35 games. He hasn't had to as much anymore because Siakam has pretty much produced the same stats in Indiana that he was producing in Toronto. Most of that is carried over. But, of course, the Heat are not the same team now either. There was no Terry Rozier then, and this is a much healthier Heat roster, knock on something, than we have seen the entire year. And if they can actually get on a run with this healthy roster now, with Tyler Hero back and all the other pieces around him back, then, you know, we may owe some apologies, or I might, to the Miami Heat for the way that they manage some of these injuries if they've actually gotten healthy at the right time. I mean, this is, again, anything can happen. Duncan still looks a little bit bothered by the back situation. It's kind of funny. We've talked about guys taking too long to come back, and yet Hero, who we thought took too long, looked great in this last game. And Duncan, who may have pushed himself a little bit too hard, has not looked great since he came back from the back injury. And obviously that's going to need to change if Duncan's going to stay started part of the starting lineup. But it is all pointing to this. And it is raising the question again, you know, is this Miami Heat team as currently constituted and now completely healthy with no excuses, do they have the fortitude to win a game like this? Do they have the focus to win a game like this? Because there's been games they've played hard this year against decent teams. And Indiana's not a great team. They're a decent team. They're still developing under Rick Carlisle. Obviously, the Heat have a lot of history with Rick Carlisle going all the way back to the Dallas days. But, you know, there have been games that they played hard but not well late. And then there's been other games where their best player or two no-showed in these situations. And I'm going to start here as we get into the ramifications of the game. We can talk Tyler all we want. I mean, Jimmy, you know, I mean,
there's no way that you could come into this game and say, ah, that wasn't the one, or that wasn't a big game. I mean, so to that point, this has to be a Jimmy Butler game, right? I mean, are we crazy? There's no other. We've ran out of tomorrow will be the day that it's the Jimmy Butler game. This is it, right?
Right. Well, it has to be, and I'm going through this as we speak because I'm going to look at his splits against Indiana because I know that they're good. Because the second he had a crazy second half against them in the second, I believe it was the second of the home games that they faced them. And again, that was that two game set. He didn't do much in that first half and he kind of nuts. Indiana, as we know, is not a top 10 defense. They're a bottom 10 defense. I posted the stats on Twitter yesterday. Jimmy Butler had another sub 50% game against the top 10 defense in Houston. This year, he has faced Miami's a top 10 defense. So you take them out of the equation. So the top 11, I guess we go down to, right? Taking Miami out. Against Minnesota, 5 of 12, under 50%, averaging 15. Against Orlando is the only team of the top 10 defenses he's shooting 50 better than 50% against this year. 11 of 19, but it's just one game, 19 points. A low volume. Boston, under 50%, averaging 15.5. OKC, 50%, averaging 20 in one game. New Orleans, 50%, averaging 20. Cleveland is shooting 40%, averaging 17. New York, 50%, averaging 22. Denver, 40%, averaging 18. Memphis, which, believe it or not, is a top 10 defense. He was 9 of 23 in the games. That's well under 50%, averaging 15. And then Houston, he did score, what was it, 22, but he was under 50% again. So I think we're past the point of saying that, and this, and again, Indiana's not a good defense, but I think we're past the point. Right. And so this has to be a game where it's 50% over 20, right? Like 50% over 20 points. Like he's got to hit both of those And Eric Spoelstra said it, and this is not, I know people say we're picking on this too much, or I am. If you listen to John Crotty on the broadcast lately, okay, he is increasingly saying, Jimmy needs to engage. Jimmy needs to engage. He says it a lot. He says it in a nicer way, I think, than the fans say it, or we say it, but it's clearly on his mind. And then Eric Spoelstra said, when Jimmy brings that kind of focus at the beginning, players follow him.
There's a reason he's saying that soundbite. Yep.
Right. Greg, first 5 minutes. Like, I'm not saying take 30 shots. I'm saying be the best player on the floor from the start. And I think if he is, it's a tough environment in Indiana.
They're 14-49 all time in Indiana, by the way.
They are. And some of their best moments historically have been in that 14, because I was there for Dwayne and LeBron going nuts. So, but, they don't have Dwayne and LeBron right now, LeBron in his prime. It's a tough environment. Lots of crazy things happen there. It's honestly been a lot of low scoring, very frustrating games there. This is not a low scoring Indiana team, either offensively or defensively. But it is a place where if you don't bring it early, you can get run out of there. Or at least you can put yourself in a position where you spend the whole game climbing out. And that can't happen. And that starts with Jimmy. You got the bounce back game from Bam against Houston. I expected that. We predicted that. I think he will be there for it. And then after the break, we're going to talk about Tyler and how this all fits. Obviously, a place in Indiana that Tyler has had some success in the past. But it's got to be Jimmy. Like, this is a playoff game. It's a playoff
game. It's as close as you're going to get without it saying playoffs on the damn schedule and on the marquee. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right. So this has to be a playoff Jimmy game. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Tyler Hero impact of all of this and kind of where they go with it. And not just in this game, but going forward. Of course, we mentioned after this one at Atlanta, team is pretty much locked into the play-in, not to the specific seed yet. Dallas at home, second night of a back-to-back, won't be easy. And then the two supposed gimmies against Toronto, but Toronto just went up and bit a Milwaukee team that's plummeting right now. So we'll get into those games and talk about Tyler. Before we do, I want to mention a great sponsor of the Five Reasons Sports Network. We're not that far away from Mother's Day, and that's why I'm telling you about Tub Culture. Check it out, shoptubculture.com, handcrafted bath and body care from our friends, the Simons, who live in South Florida. They've created this great website with great products. I've ordered some of this stuff. It's unique. You just got to check the site, okay? And it's priced right, too. Check it out, shoptubculture.com. Why are you going to go to the mall? You know the store in there, okay? And I know a lot of you have been dragged to that store to buy this and buy that and all these fake specials. It's not even great quality. This is. Check it out, shoptubculture.com. Everything you need for the shower, for the bath, and of course for your significant others or for your family members that you just want to treat on a holiday. So check it out, shoptubculture.com. Use code 5, FIVE, and you'll get 10% off all orders over $20, and there's free shipping on all orders over $50.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All right, let's get to the Tyler Hero impact. I wasn't on the postgame show. You weren't either, but Brady and Alex covered a lot of this. It went as well as you could have hoped.
It did.
Right? Fresh. He looked in control, making the right reads, not forcing anything. I want to get into with you, though, the postgame. I had no issue with what he said.
Me neither.
Did you?
Me neither. I thought it was a much to do about nothing. I thought that if you listen to it, he answered the questions as he normally, like, it was innocent to me. I thought that it was completely misconstrued. What else is he going to say but answer the way that he answered the questions? I thought that all of that was much to do about nothing. He also played really well in his role. And I think we also shouldn't ignore that. Like, if that continues, that's a signpost to us that, you know, maybe there is a role for him. And I know that he's saying, I'm a starter, I play starter minutes, and people are going to look into that. He's that. He puts up stats like a starter, and he's going to think of himself as a starter. It's part of what makes him great is that confidence that he has. And so I just didn't look at anything that he said and thought that he was speaking out of turn or that he seemed disgruntled. To me, he seemed as lockstep with the team and the coaching staff and all that as anyone could have asked for. I thought it was completely overblown and really just a small faction of social media that got a little up in arms about him, I guess, making comments about starter this or starter that, right? Is that, I mean, did you read into it any other different way than that's really what people are upset about?
No, and look, 80%, I polled this today, I threw it out there, and 80%, when I said, what is his best role with this group? 80%, more than 2,500 votes in the first hour. So obviously people are engaged on this topic. 80% said his best role is as a sixth man, and 20% said as a starter. And I understand that sentiment. And I understand because we saw him succeed as a sixth man. Like our guy Trilly tweeted, 14 is a cheat code off the bench. Yeah, he won the award. You know what I mean? Like, he won the award for a reason, because he's really good at that role. And it fits him, and it has fit a lot of players in the past, whether it's a Lou Williams or a Jamal Crawford, or, by the way, a Hall of Famer named Manu Ginobili, or a Goran Dragic with the Miami Heat, or a Dwayne Wade with the Miami Heat. There are opportunities to get the ball in someone's hands when they come off the bench, particularly against teams that have changed their rotation from the starting lineup, where you can exploit certain advantages with a guy who's crafty, has a skill set, knows how to get to certain spots, and is a good shooter. Like, this is not like the sixth man trend in the NBA over the past 25 years or so, or even dating further back to the Vinnie Johnsons of the world, is about you create an advantage with a scorer off the bench. Like, this is what it is. Now, he does not view himself that way. We know that, okay? So what he said after the game, as long as he gets starters minutes, okay, he didn't say I have to close, by the way, either. He didn't say that, although that's another conversation we have to have here. But as long as I get starters minutes, he's okay with it. And people sort of took it like he's leaving, you know, that he expects at some point to return the starting lineup. He likely does, okay?
Yeah.
Maybe he's even been told that he will. But for right now, it is the best move for this team. Because you see, even in the past game, he said it himself. He said, I was out 20 games and with 6 games left. That's the same argument I've been making. I said he should get the starting job back. But then once his absence went from 4 games to 8 games to 12 games to 50, then I was like, okay, no, it's too late. He basically said the same thing for right now. It doesn't mean that Spo doesn't have that card in his pocket for the playoffs. He did it with Dragic before. He's done it with many others. He did it with Mike Miller. He's done it with many players where he's inserted him into the starting lineup. So I think Tyler knows there's an opportunity for him to get back in the starting lineup, and he's likely been told that. But all I care about, or all Heat fans should care about, is what he does between the lines.
Yep.
Like you said, if he plays the role between the lines, if he's not forcing things to make a point, or he's not, say, not forcing things to make a point, like he's on strike, okay, which, by the way, sometimes we see 22 seems to do some of this stuff, okay? As long as he's not doing that, I don't know how anybody could have any issue with something he says, okay? That's the thing, like, and it was different with Kyle Lowry, okay? Because I know people are going to say, well, because I was there for when Lowry said twice, first before the season and then late before they ended up shipping him out, about viewing himself as a starter, and I'll handle it for now. I'm sorry. Tyler Hero is a higher-level basketball player at this stage than Kyle Lowry is, okay? And Kyle had no right, maybe before the season, was no point guard on the team, but no right later in the year when his year had basically been an abomination for most of it to make any kind of demands. Tyler hasn't done anything wrong other than not be available. I mean, that's really it.
And so, he acknowledged that when he talked about how many games were left, you know?
Right. He has, there's this perception of Tyler that like he's not self-aware, he doesn't process things. He absolutely does. He sees everything. Yeah. He says he doesn't as much as he used to, but he used to acknowledge that he did. And he's aware of the arguments, okay? And I don't think he's like, he's not hard-headed in that way. I just, at least my interactions with him, my observations of him, he's able to, he's not a narcissist like that where he can't see that kind of forest of the trees. He understands what's out there. He understood he had to have a big playoffs last year. That's why he was disappointed that he could not contribute in that way. Okay.
I think it's refreshing, actually, the way that he processes things and that he's very transparent in what he hears and stuff. To me, it's like he's not like, oh, I'm so above all that and I don't hear all you small people talking beneath. Like, to me, he's actually a real person for acknowledging some of that stuff. And I think he's handled it pretty damn well.
I thought he handled it well coming off the trade rumors this offseason. And we all told you that he would. I don't think it's not Tyler that people react to on this stuff. It's his stance. I think that's really what it is. I think that this has kind of become a thing where, yes, there are legitimate basketball reasons, okay, yeah, legitimate, to discuss whether this team is better off with as currently constituted, with Tyler Hero coming off the bench and Duncan Robinson, provided that he looks healthier than he has recently starting. The metrics suggest that they've been better in a lot of those Duncan lineups. Just the eye test tells you, having a little bit more size at the position, all the rest of that stuff. And even I don't know if the last time people were listening to this, but in the Houston game, Tyler played, what, 1 minute with Jimmy and Bam together? Like, yeah. Spo recognizes, I think, about staggering and keeping Jimmy and Tyler separate to maximize their minutes, okay, as each of them, they play differently. They hunt things differently. Jimmy likes to slow the game down. Tyler sometimes speeds it up a little bit. Tyler's going to play a little bit more off of feel like that. Jimmy's hunting a mismatch. There's lots of reasons to say it makes sense to separate them at times. And I want to make sure we get back to the closing stuff at the end of this, because they're not going to be able to separate them then. But I think there are legitimate basketball reasons for why Tyler, for this group, makes sense coming off the bench, not just when he came back after 20 game absence, which to me at this point became a no-brainer, but even going forward, unless they absolutely need a scoring punch in the starting lineup and you're just throwing something out there to see if it works. But I think what's happened here is that the legitimate basketball reasons get translated by his stance, which he's not responsible for, as hatred, right? And they take it as personal attacks. And then so you have this other crowd on Twitter in particular, which is equally out of their minds about this, the other direction, where they can't see any of the good that Tyler does for this team and don't think that he has any role. And that's just wrong too. So I think that's where we're at. I don't even think this is a Tyler conversation anymore. I think it's a conversation about those who have taken these polar opposite positions, similar to Tua on the Dolphins, the same thing, in a lot of ways. And I'll just come to this on it. Okay. For right now, Greg, he comes off the bench.
No doubt.
For right now, Terry has asserted himself. There's been ups and downs, but you basically put the ball in his hands. For right now, Duncan still has value as a starter, but he needs to figure it out quick, I think, because I think he does look rusty or not healthy or whatever. Where this becomes a question and an issue is, even a lot of those who think he shouldn't start now, I'm talking about Tyler, and should come off the bench but play starters minutes, still believe he should close. I saw that a lot in the comments today, and I tend to agree with it, okay? Mm-hmm. But who's he going to close with? Jimmy and Bam, right? And Terry.
They got to figure it out. Lead.
Right. And so I'll ask you this. Are you comfortable? They're going into Indiana. This is a good way to kind of wrap this all together. They need this game. They need Jimmy at the start. They need Bam at the start, but particularly Jimmy. They're probably going to need Tyler at the end with both of them, with Terry and with either who, probably Caleb or Haywood, most likely, right? Yeah. In that five. Are you comfortable with the lack of reps that Tyler has had with that group, with Terry and Jimmy together, in particular? Bam, he's had plenty of reps, right? But with Jimmy and Terry in particular, Are you comfortable if this is a tight game late, putting that group on the floor and closing out a game in that place, which, as you mentioned, they lose 5 out of every 6 times historically in a game they absolutely have to have?
Yeah, and my record earlier was regular season, just so everyone doesn't come after me for that. But this is what I'll say. I'm not comfortable, but you got to do it. Like, this is where I become existential when it comes to the Heat. Like, it transcends this game. It transcends this run. We got to see what the hell this team is as presently constructed. And so here we go. Let's do it. They don't have the benefit of time and the benefit of working Tyler into that mix. So no, throw it in there. I'm not comfortable with it, but you got to figure out what you have. And this is the time for this group. It would be criminal to go into next season and still be asking some of these questions. And so that's where I think now these games, they take on an even bigger meaning to me, because there's ramifications to the build in senses that are huge. And so that's why no one's going to think about those things when it's a Sunday afternoon in Indianapolis, as it will be tomorrow when they match up. But to me, these are the games that inform some of the decision-making. You're going to start to see who they really trust to play together late in games as we gear up for the playoffs. And to me, I want to know, does Tyler, does Jimmy, does Bam work as a top three? Does that work with Terry as your fourth guy? Or do you need another guy? Like, these are all the questions that we ask. I think they got to start figuring those out starting at Indiana.
I'm with you. And I think that's a good way to end. And I, you know, like I said, Jimmy at the start, Bam needs to win that matchup with Siakam, Turner, anybody he sees in there. And then I'll tell you this, I'd prefer to see Tyler Hero hunting for a shot late than Jimmy taking an off leg 20-foot, 23-foot kill shot 3 at the end of the game at this stage. Tyler has said it himself. He said it before he got hurt, when they were going through some struggles, when they were going through that losing streak. Me, Jimmy, and Bam need to figure it out. Okay, whether Heat fans think that Tyler should be part of that 3 or not part of that 3 or whatever, they have no better opportunity than right now. All the supporting players are available. Everything is in front of them. The Eastern Conference
wide open. Oh, you beat me to it. Sorry.
Conference is wide open. Okay. A very frustrating season has landed at the doorstep in Indianapolis, and it ain't too late. And I tweeted the other day after the Philly loss in some frustration about watching that thing fall apart, because we want this run to go as long as possible. We want to get as many podcasts out there as we can, that it feels like it's too late. Well, maybe not. Maybe I was premature in that. But these are the types of games against a team that's beatable. Also,
yeah.
I want to make that clear. It's not a great team they're playing. This Indiana team is a nice story. The Miami Heat are further along in their build than the Pacers are in their build. The Halliburton build is just kind of starting. Siakam was acquired this year. The Jimmy Butler build is in year five. Go win a freaking basketball game. Secure a playoff series. Take on Cleveland, Orlando, New York, whoever, and get Boston shaken on the other side. And the other part of this is, if you can stick Philly in the 8, leave them there. Okay?
Amen.
Get Philly Boston in that first round, let the two of them deal with each other, and maybe you'll even get an upset in that series and not have to deal with the Celtics later on. All right, thanks to our sponsor, shoptubculture.com. Use that code 5FIVE, c-armandstaffing.com. We'll have full coverage, playback, post-game. Be there for all of it on Sunday with us on the 5 Reasons Sports Network.
Thank you for listening to the 5 on the Floor on the 5 Reasons Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.